Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song.
A banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah. Let's get it going. Time to kick off the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here, joined by your program director over at 105.5 WIRI, Seth Hatbacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners of radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Mm-hmm. Got some fun lined up for you today. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We're going to do some celebrating.
Okay.
We got the loneliest day of the year for singles. We'll get into what that day is. Spoiler alert, it's coming up.
Okay, wow.
If you are too tired for Halloween, a new app will create fake party photos for you.
Oh, good Lord.
They go hand in hand, those two stories, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess.
And we get time for it. We got 10 things that were normal 30 years ago, but are a luxury now.
Interesting.
That could be interesting.
That could be interesting, yeah.
Got some great entertainment news for you lined up. We're going to talk Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, and their longtime friendship.
Cool.
Are we saying Mariska Hargitay's name right?
Oh, no.
We've got that one coming up for you as well. We'll talk about our newsletter. I want to get into that with you a little bit. Some local entertainment going on in our area. Mm-hmm. And I've got one about 15 ways we used to listen to music.
Ooh, 15?
15 different ways we used to listen to music, huh. And why we may or may not miss it.
Okay,
that way and stuff.
All right.
And, of course, our schedule and plenty more in store for you today. But yep. We have to begin here. And
all right.
I will – I don't know – I have to ask this to the audience, even though I feel like I know the answer.
Okay.
And I feel like this is one of those situations where, you know, every once in a while this happens where you think mm-hmm. you're the only person this affects or it's happening to or that is thinking or feeling this. And then you share it with friends or family and like, oh, I'm not alone.
Not alone.
Other people feel this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is not that situation, Seth.
Okay.
My back has been bugging me the last week or two.
Okay.
And I have a horrible mattress.
Ooh.
I have a mattress that it's begging me to let it go.
Just please.
I've done my job. You got your money's worth.
I want to rest. Let the mattress rest.
Just let me go.
Yeah.
And I can't yet. I do because I don't have a new mattress yet. So I have to use this one. And with my back problems, I've been trying different things. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about this. But when I was younger, it used to work. And this morning it's been working. I've been barefoot.
Oh.
And walking bare. I got socks on and everything, and clean socks, to be fair. But I don't know why, but barefoot, like, my back doesn't feel as bad when I'm,
okay.
especially when I'm standing.
All right.
It's not perfect, but it's helping a little bit.
All right.
And you figure these things out when you have a bad back or your legs hurt or any of these things, and especially when you have a bad mattress.
Yes.
Now, I had not had a day, a morning that where I was like, oh, God, I'm glad I have that mattress. But I am this morning. I'm thankful to have that mattress.
Yes.
That banged up, beat up mattress that is it seems like it's a tackle dummy in football, that mattress that I use and everything. But it's better than this one.
Right.
In our opening story. It turns out a lot of, quote, smart homes have gotten a little bit, not as smart. A little
dumber.
Intelligent. Yes, definitely. A company called 8 Sleep makes bed frames that tilt, and a $2,000 mattress mm-hmm. covers that, let you dial in the temperature of your bed, but it all runs on the cloud. And it's hosted by Amazon's Web Services.
Right, which is a lot of stuff. It's huge.
And in the last couple of days, we've had shortages and outages
yep.
with Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know a number of different apps have been struggling and having issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to keep in mind, sometimes these are just struggles. Sometimes this is just technology and the way it goes.
Right.
But if you are if you have a security team that is intelligent, mm-hmm. They also see this as, well, that could be people trying to get into our system.
Yep.
It could be, it's not to say it's one or the other, but they oftentimes are hand in hand.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we had a security problem last month ago or whatever. Well, that was hackers testing things out.
Is that related? Right, exactly.
Yeah, who knows, mm-hmm. but it's certainly something to keep an eyeball on. If your bed was in a, so it ended up being a big issue for the 8 Sleep customers on Monday, because once Amazon systems went down, it bricked the whole smart mattress mattress system. If your bed was in a seated position, you couldn't make it lie flat.
Ooh.
You just had to sleep like that or move to the couch or floor or something like that.
Whatever, right, yeah.
The outage happened around 3 a.m. Eastern time and 12 midnight Pacific, so a lot of night owls had big time issues with this.
Oh, I'll bet they did.
One guy tweeted at the CEO and said, "Would be great if my bed wasn't stuck in an inclined position." Then someone in the comments said, "It's all fun and games until a hacker folds you into a taco."
Very true. Very true, actually.
Yeah. Other customers described issues with the mattress overheating. One guy said his bed was stuck in a 9 degrees warmer than the room compared to sleeping in a sauna.
Ooh.
Said that's what it felt like.
Oh, that's rough.
The bed started working again once Amazon servers went back online. The CEO of 8 Sleep said that they were working on adding an outage mode this week so it doesn't happen again.
Sounds like something they should have done in the first place.
Feels,
you know,
like
it just feels that way. Real quick, I want to give some stats on this specific item.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a smart. Okay, it starts at $2,700, and it's not a mattress.
Man,
you provide your own mattress. It is a mattress cover and a quote unquote pod that acts as the brain of the system. If customers want to spend a few thousand more. They can get a base that adjusts the position of the mattress, provides biometric sleeping data, and heats and cools the sleeper. Customers must also subscribe to a service for 8 Sleep, which ranges from $17 to $33 a month.
Man, that is a hustle. That is a hustle right there.
I'm telling you, this is the first I've ever heard of this company before. Never heard about this. But, I mean, talk about a cautionary tale about quote-unquote smart appliances or smart whatever. Man, you need backup plans for all of these things, because I mean, it was not that long of an outage. I mean, it was a decent, you know, kind of thing, but that's what happens, man. Something happens in Washington State and now suddenly your bed is broken, and you can't use it anymore.
If I spent all that money on that thing, I would still be stuck with the same mattress. They don't even sell you a mattress. Like, I mean, at least give me some feathers. Let me make my own.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's something.
Well, and it's really funny because, I mean, there's a lot of great quotes on the social media and stuff. ESPN host Victoria Arlen has one, and she said, "Mine is not working. It went super haywire, and it still seems to be turning on and off randomly with the inability to stop or control it. I had to unplug it. I tried to get it going again, and it's still uncontrollable with the system turning on and off."
I say go old school. Get yourself an offline bed. Offline.
Hey, you know, just regular mattress technology has come a long way in the last, you know, couple of decades.
Yeah.
You can get some really nice mattresses that don't move.
Yeah.
And consequently, don't go insane when it gets off the cloud.
I remember my Aunt Pat talking about this, that there was a stretch there where, like, everybody, like, rhinestones were big, and then it got too big where people were putting on rhinestones on everything.
Oh, the
70s,
man.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then we saw this in the 80s a little bit with, you know, especially certain, like, you know, plastic products and everything. We've seen it in the 90s, and we've seen it in the aughts. We see that we overuse these things. We have done this with Bluetooth. We have done this with technology.
Yes.
We are throwing it in things.
Yep.
Any day now, you're going to go to buy milk and you're going to have to know a code to be able to open it.
Seriously.
We've gone way too far with
this. Well, and James and I were talking off air about this, and it's like, it's actually not convenient though. It's actually adding steps.
Yes.
It's making it less convenient to do a lot of things that we could easily do before.
So sleep is one of the most important things in our lives, and especially when it comes to things we don't do enough about, don't pay enough attention to. You could be a 7-8 hour a night sleeper and still not be doing everything we need to sleep. It's so vitally important.
Right.
I joke about it all the time, but in jest, in the sense of hopefully getting people to remember that it's such an important thing.
It is, yes.
I can't imagine spending the money that some people do on these things, or the ability to spend the money on these things. I found an article, Seth, Amerisleep, with the most expensive mattresses, expensive beds.
Amerisleep.
Amerisleep.com. Good luck with that, everyone.
Hey, well, hey, whatever, you know.
They have a Starry Night Sleep technology bed for 50 G's The Starry Night Sleep Technology bed features a surround sound stereo and video projector you could use to display stars across your room to turn your bedroom into a movie theater. And by the way, this is for adults.
This isn't for kids.
This is for adults. It doesn't even look comfortable. The bed doesn't even look comfortable.
Man.
$500,000 on that bed. Or the Cosmode bed.
You can't even pronounce the name of it.
All right. You know, as a side note, you can't buy it if you can't pronounce it.
No, seriously.
Like, I don't care how much money you
have. No, I'm with you.
The egg-like, it's like an egg-shaped bed.
Oh, wild. That is an interesting design.
Almost like a sea on its
end. It looks like a sled.
Yeah.
It looks like an old sleigh kind of thing. Yeah.
It comes with a built-in phone, DVD player, a TV set, surround sound, all the fixings to keep you awake in your bed.
Is it for sleeping?
Wait a minute. It's an entertainment center. That's not a bed.
Oh, goodness.
The quantum sleep bed is where now we're talking.
Okay.
Now give me something different. Reinvent the bed if you're going to be spending this money and everything. If you're preparing for a disaster or simply want to live out of your bed, take a look at the quantum sleep bed. The watertight bed closes in on itself and is built to protect you against natural disasters, intruders, and weapons. It is a safe room, or what do they call it?
It's a safe room. Yeah, our panic room.
Panic room.
It's a panic bed.
It's a panic bed. It's a panic bed. You got yourself a panic bed.
Wow.
And have you ever wanted to know what it feels like to be Dracula? But comfortable.
But possibly not able to get out again.
Yes.
What's the fail safe on that one? That's what I want to know.
20 fail safes on this
thing. Oh, my God.
At least
it's like being buried alive. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that'd be freaky.
At least 20 different things. And I'm doing that if I have.
And you didn't even mention that. It's $160,000. Yes.
$160,000.
Wow.
The magnetic floating bed for over, what is that, one?
That's over $1 million. It's $1.6 million.
One of the most unique beds in the world is a magnetic floating bed designed by architects. The bed feels like you're floating on a cloud, and for its price range, it better. The bed manages to hover off the ground thanks to 150,000 pounds of magnets beneath it for safety reasons.
Prevent
the bed from floating.
Yep.
You need it secured still, like a tent almost. You need four things at the end.
You just keep floating.
Okay, I want to try it.
It sounds interesting to see, and to see what it feels like. That'd be interesting, but
That's one of those situations where I'm going to this place that you can sell this, and I'm pretending I have money.
Right.
I'm acting like I
have exactly.
money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but your greatest role, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. But one of the most difficult acting jobs I've ever had to do.
Act like you're, like, just loaded,
And the most expensive bed that's over $6
million. $6.3 million.
The Balbucci Supreme Bed, desired by Stuart Hughes, a man famous for designing the world's most expensive items, including yachts and all kinds of other things.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The bed is hand-built by Italian furniture makers. The frame is made from ash, cherry, and chestnut woods and has incarnate carvings. The bed's glass canopy is made from over 250 pounds of 24-karat gold and Italian silk.
Oh, there we go. That's where the cost comes in. I was like, so what? It's a wood? Okay, yeah, that's not $1 million.
But I was looking into this.
Yeah.
The mattress, the frame, everything, very, very basic.
Very normally basic.
All the
basic
money is in the fixings.
In the frames, in the, yeah.
You're going to get that.
$6 million?
A year or two into that bed, and you're going to be in the same position.
What a racket this guy has.
This is one of the greatest hustles I've ever seen in my life, the sleep industry.
Who knew, first of all? That what's going on there?
It's been under my nose the whole time.
I mean, and everyone here is like, can I get my compressed mattress when I bring it home and it inflates, you pull it out of the packaging and it kind of like unfolds itself kind of thing? Thing, which is, kind of entertaining, but you can only do it once. So.
I woke up on the floor the other day, free, completely free.
Didn't cost anything, except for the back surgery you may
that
have
part,
to have.
That
but
part
other than that,
it's definitely going to cost me. That is definitely. I can't believe that. That's a wild story to me.
That is wild.
This feels like something that would have happened to me too. As far as the bed, having an electronic bed.
All of a sudden, it starts
like
going haywire. Yeah. Starts folding you in half, kind of thing. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
What is the
Three Stooges routine?
Here's another one for you, everybody. Worst way to wake up. Worst way to wake up. 715-424-2600. And how do you rebound from that? Because you can't just take it. Like, I don't know about you guys out there, but I wake up like crummy, or I wake up in a bent position because my mattress is in an L or something like that. I'm fighting against it. So how do you get into that good mood and stuff? We are going to get you into a good mood coming up with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's on the way on the morning show at WFHR. Letting them roll right into the birthday and anniversary club. It's one of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate you and our great friends over at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, support our friends over at El Cafe. Support this community so well. Check out some of those great specials they got. Mm-hmm. Fresh blueberry pancakes sounds really good.
I haven't had blueberry pancakes in a long time. That sounds really good.
And they got some amazing pies over there. Anders Mint Pie, a triple berry, rhubarb. Espresso, of course, sounds really good to me. But the pumpkin cheesecake, I don't think I've tried that before. Is there a pumpkin something that I have not had?
I will bet you that will taste a lot like pumpkin pie with a twist on it, with a cheesecake twist. I bet you that's, you know, I'm not a cheesecake guy, but I might try that just because the pumpkin part.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I think it sounds interesting.
All in. I am mentally already there. I encourage you to check it out. Go ahead and get on over to El Cafe, everybody, and wish them a good morning from all of us. And get us your birthdays and anniversaries so we can continue to celebrate with you. info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on our Facebook pages, or you can call on up.
715-424-2600. Call up right now, everyone. Wish someone a happy birthday. Or everyone a happy birthday, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to hanging out with you. Give us a call. Seth, you don't have to work this morning.
All right. It's a layback.
Just a one possible qualifier, so we'll tag that.
And nice.
First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Pam's great niece, Molly Lewick.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Molly is 3.
Aw, happy birthday, Molly. Even better. Yeah.
That just gets you those young birthdays. That's so fantastic. Cool.
It is.
Happy birthday, Molly. Happy birthday. Enjoy your third.
You don't get to do that too much, so that's fun.
And we wish happy birthday to our qualifier, Linda Lou Miller.
Happy birthday, Linda Lou.
Linda Lou, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for you.
Absolutely.
Linda's a longtime listener and has been getting us this birthday for a long time. We appreciate whoever got it to
us. Yeah, fantastic.
We take a look at who you share your birthdays with. Jonathan Lipinski is 35. He was the little Ray Boyd in Jerry Maguire, the little kid.
Maguire. Oh, I knew that name was somewhat familiar. I couldn't remember where it was from.
Had a couple of acting jobs here and there afterwards, but not too much. But he was great in the Jerry Maguire. He was great in that. Zach Hansen is 40. That is the youngest Hansen member.
Oh!
Hansen brother, I should say.
He was the drummer? Yeah. I think he was the drummer of the Hansen band.
Man, I would never be able to guess which Hansen was what. I'm just going to go with
that. They had enough years between them that you could decipher. Back then, you could decipher. I'm sure you can't now because they probably all look the same age. But
Jesse Tyler Ferguson is 50 years old. Mitchell on Modern Family. The redhead.
Yes.
If you didn't notice the show or didn't pay attention to the show too much or anything.
Right. He's very good actor. Yes.
Yeah.
He's excellent.
Got a great approach, a great touch to his style of acting, to his delivery and everything. It's just a little bit different than his normal speaking voice, which I find interesting because it seems like that's just the way he talks.
Yep.
But no, he's a little bit, that just was the character.
That was the character he was playing.
And a lot of the characters kind of gets typed into.
Of course. He's very good, yes.
She's good. Shelby Lynn is good. 57 for the country singer-songwriter. Won a Grammy for Best New Artist back in 2000.
Nice.
Shaggy is 57.
Boy, one of the most distinctive singing/rapping styles you will ever hear in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that, boy, you know exactly who it is.
There's, I wouldn't say this is the wildest or anything like that by any means, but for some reason, one that has always stood out to me was Shaggy. I don't think of his one hit or even some of the things you mentioned there and everything. I believe that he was a military member some other things too. So he's got a very had an interesting life.
Yep.
But he did a collaboration with Sting. And it's the weirdest, I don't know why, but it's so weird to me.
They seem worlds apart. Although, they both have reggae in their background. Yeah. You have to give that, because if you remember the early Police, they were kind of a reggae group in a sense.
And you can still hear it in a lot of their hits, even.
That's right.
In a couple of them. And so Staring at the Sun or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many you can name,
It's a couple of them that they've got almost a Jamaica reggae.
They do.
Yes. Yep. Brian Botano is 62. What would Brian Botano do?
I knew you were going to do
that. I couldn't help myself. Much more important than the wonderful song from South Park.
Yes.
The wonderful, incredible athleticism of the wonderful legend Brian Botano.
Mm-hmm.
Just an incredible athlete. Incredible athlete. One of our guys, Seth, one of our favorites, Bob Odenkirk, is 63 today.
Wow. Bob Odenkirk is 63?
That's incredible.
He doesn't really look it. He actually looks pretty good. You know, he looks pretty young still.
Wrote for SNL for almost a decade. Of course, was on the Ben Stiller improv show.
The Ben Stiller show,
Many of us know and remember and love him for Mr. Show.
Mr. Show.
David Cross, he did many years on
David.
HBO. A lot of younger people out there, though, only know him as a serious actor or an action star, which
I never saw coming.
Nobody had that. I don't know that you're
like
gonna find
50s and 60s.
You're not gonna find many bigger fans of Bob Odenkirk than Seth and I. Neither one of us would have ever seen this coming.
No,
it's so cool to see.
Honestly, if you see interviews with him, he didn't see it coming either.
Mm-hmm.
It was very wild when he got on Breaking Bad, when he got that role. I mean, it was just a role for him, right? He had no idea it was going to come to Better Call Saul and all these other things.
Yeah.
He had no idea that was going
to
happen.
One of the good guys in the industry. And
yes.
It's so cool to see that happen to him. He's worked really hard to get to this point. And it's just his luck that he get in his 60s and he becomes an action star.
He's still my favorite Rage.
Yes,
so well.
It is where like Farley would go from 0 to 100.
Yep.
If you're noticing, Odenkirk goes from like 4 to 100. Like he's just a little bit different, but it's a pace that's so good.
And he's so good at it.
God, he's funny.
Yes,
you have to support me. That's so good. The legend, the wonderful Jeff Goldblum is 73. It's my Jeff Goldblum impression.
I love actors who have a style that just is there.
Yeah.
It's never going away. Christopher Walken, of course, is probably the most famous of those.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Goldblum is right up there. He's always the same. He's always does the Jeff Goldblum. He's a good actor.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's not. He's a very good actor. But it's always in a specific way that he does it. It's so interesting.
It's a wild thing you're talking about, because obviously as actors, our job is to make these lines feel like they're our own,
mm-hmm.
make every character different. The death kiss to an actor is being typecast.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this also uniqueness to a Walken, a Goldblum, certain actors like that, that where it is really part of the reason why they continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to be talented. Doesn't hurt
Absolutely.
To be a little handsome. Doesn't hurt to be a little
good looking.
That.
Yeah.
But you have to. That it almost speaks even more to their skill set,
mm-hmm.
and their likability or their workability or availability or any of these other things, that you're able to do that when you're Dennis Hopper, when you're Christopher Walken,
mm-hmm.
when you are Jeff Goldblum,
yep.
and you don't maybe change that much from character to character,
yep.
but look at the consistency of all three of those actors I mentioned,
right.
and they always were working, always. And
always had stuff going on, yes.
You can make an argument Jeff Goldblum's never worked more than in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
With the commercial work and a lot of that stuff he's doing.
Yep. And honestly, he did a couple of years ago, he did a kind of a reality show where he would go and, you know, like see how things were made kind of thing, you know, specific things. He'd go and find out about it. And he's exactly the same. He's still Jeff Goldblum.
As interesting as all that is, I think one of the most shocking things about it, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people put attached to him, but we do with action stars all the time. He is one of the biggest box office selling actors of all time.
Yeah, look at his career and what the movies he's been in. Yes.
The Fly, certainly, but he's been a part of the Jurassic Park series the whole time. He's got the Wicked franchise that he's a part of now, too.
Yep.
And almost all of his movies, going back to the Body Snatchers, the Big Chill,
mm-hmm.
anything, has done very well.
Have been very successful, yes.
He hasn't had a lot of flops in
his career. Not really. He hasn't.
Maybe Earth Girls Are Easy. Maybe that.
That's a cult classic,
though. It's a cult classic, man. There were some great actors in that movie. And another legend we have to talk about. Christopher Lloyd is 87.
Oh, wow.
Doc Brown himself. Of course, many of us as a little kid, I loved him in Taxi. Mm-hmm. Uncle Fester in the Addams Family movies.
You forget about that one because he doesn't look like Christopher Lloyd.
Perfectly cast.
Clue, of course.
He is a Klingon in Star Trek III.
Yes, he did a good job with that one. Yes.
I didn't know that one. That's one I did not know of Christopher
And you
could
still very much tell it's Christopher Lloyd.
I mentioned this the other day when Back to the Future came up, that one of my favorite comedic scenes of all time, favorite scenes in movies of all time, is him, damn. It gets me every time since I was six to now. That scene gets me every single time, like the first time I saw it. But if I could recommend a movie, for one, Christopher Lloyd, also a great voice actor.
Yep.
Appreciate and love so much his relationship with Michael J. Fox, mm-hmm. and them bringing attention to so many different things that have affected both of them in their later lives and everything. You get a chance, if you love Christopher Lloyd, you have to see Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Oh.
It is Andy Garcia. It's one of those like acting movies where there's just a bunch of great actors in it. Andy right. Garcia and a bunch mm-hmm. of others. It's a darker role for him in many ways.
Yeah. Where it's kind of a dark comedy, right? Yeah.
He plays a film projector runner, but his hands are all messed up.
Oh.
And it's a much darker, serious role of mm-hmm. his, but he has this charm to it still that's really good. Him and Andy Garcia work really good together.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of... Andy Garcia, Christopher Lloyd, Steve Buscemi's in it. Yeah. Christopher Walken's in it.
Yeah.
I've heard about that film, but I've never seen it.
One of those late 90s movies that I will watch to the end of time. I love that movie. It's a weird movie. I'm not even saying it's that great of a movie, but it's a good one I think we're seeing.
The heyday of indie films, in the 90s. Yep. Lots of indie films. That was a good indie film.
Those are my movies, man. I love those. and Leslie West, born on this day in 1945. One-legged guitarist from Mountain, Mississippi Queen.
Oh, yes.
And Curly Howard, born on this day in 1903. One of the original Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Nicely Woo! Done. Happy birthdays and anniversaries to everybody out there. We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is an interesting one, Seth.
All right.
For single people, the holidays can be a little rough, mm-hmm. but you usually figure, well, Halloween is the exact opposite. It's almost a single person's kind of holiday in many ways you think about it, because you tend to think about it when you're young.
Right.
No matter how old you are right now, when you first think of Halloween every year, when mm-hmm. it's getting closer, your first thoughts are from when you were young.
Yes.
And it kind of goes from there. Mm-hmm. That's just correct. The way the brain works and operates. Sure. The brain, oftentimes more than not, and we're finding this out more and more, works chronologically, whether you want it to or not. And you don't get to choose what memory you pull up first.
No, you do not.
So that's just kind of how it works, and I think that's part of where it comes from, a lot of that. But according to a new survey from dating.com, 59% of single people say Halloween is one of the hardest days of the year, and 57% say it's actually worse than Valentine's Day.
Really? Wow.
And as much of it as I am a foolish romantic, I kind of agree with that.
It's a very social holiday. In fact, I would say it is more of a social holiday than Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day tends to be about couples, you know, just like two people or whatever, you know, however your relationship has worked out there. But Halloween, very social.
Yep.
But it's not family social like Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all those other ones. It's just community social. It's where you, now that I'm thinking about it, it's more community based than almost all of the other ones, with maybe Christmas being the exception.
Yeah.
But it's very community based. Yeah.
Valentine's, if you are single and you know it's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's around the corner and everything. And there are so many different sub holidays to Valentine's that are kind of celebrating singles and some of that. Mm-hmm. And I think society has realized, oh, wait a minute, single people are the ones that have are the only people left maybe that have any money to spend. So a lot of marketing and a lot of TV movies that has gone that route.
That's right.
To that. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, so much has been family-centric, mm-hmm. whether it is entertainment or it is things to do. So I could see this, and especially with that. Nearly 80% admit to feeling lonely on October 31st, and more than half say they've cried after opening the door to trick-or-treaters.
Oh, that could be sad. I can see that.
There are a couple of possible explanations. One, as Seth was touching on, Halloween is built around groups. Mm-hmm. There's trick-or-treating kids, parties, couples' costumes, and families hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
And even for for people who are low-key, a lot of us celebrate Halloween by watching scary movies or making festive foods and treats, most of things that are usually enjoyed with multiple people.
Multiple people, right.
Either way, it can be a struggle. 77% of singles admit they pretended to have plans on Halloween, and 73% say that social media makes it worse, seeing all the fun people are having.
Oh my gosh, that's really sad, actually.
I think it is scary in its own self, you know, that way.
Yeah.
I think, though, that you also have to find the positives in things, and I think the silver linings in things. And in that regard, you know, there's a lot of things that I think that single people will say, oh, this is, because you've always got that. Mm-hmm. And most of us even have that friend who is just happy being single, or that friend that is constantly dating or is happy in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, there are multiple different things going on here. I think that a lot of that is sad to it and everything.
Right.
I think the fact that we know about these things, well, give advertisers a chance to find out about this. There are people out there with, possibly disposable income, you know.
They'll find them, yeah.
They'll find a way to get people something to do on Halloween.
Yes, they will.
And I think that's just, another one of the signs of the times, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a stretch there where a lot of people were getting into relationships or getting married because of how difficult it is to have a single income household.
Absolutely. Starting in the 70s, yes.
We are seeing a shift in that to degrees, mm-hmm. to a point. And I think that along with that, you're going to see things like Halloween or other holidays, get more incorporated.
You know, and it's something there's been a through line to a lot of the stuff we've been talking about, you know, adult ween. We talked about on Monday, I think, you know, and all these kinds of things. And we kind of touched on it that didn't become a thing until like the 70s and late 70s and the 80s. And really, if you look at, you know, like Halloween advertising, which is to me a great bellwether to see what's going on in the culture, right?
Yeah.
What's being advertised.
Very much.
I remember very much in like the 80s and even into the 90s, like all the beer commercials that did Halloween stuff, you know, Elvira doing like Bud Light or Coors Light or whatever it was, you know, she was every year she was doing that, but it was very much focused on, you know, adults having fun on Halloween, you know, usually in a bar and drinking that kind of stuff. But it was, I mean, I bet you if you go back and you see the commercials back from like the late 60s and the early 70s, it's all like candy stuff, costumes, you know, kids stuff. It's all the kids stuff. And then they realized, you know, hey, we got a whole market here. Let's do the Halloween thing for adults. And now to where we are now.
The scandalous or these kind of, you know, costumes where they turn a crayon into a sexy costume or whatever, like the rise of that, I don't think has helped anything.
Probably not. It's kind of silly, actually, but yeah.
If we're not already seeing, we'll see a pushback to that where people go the opposite route, a big, you know, stuffy costumes or right. something along
those
lines.
Well, the inflatable costumes are pretty popular these days, too.
As somebody who has been single for quite a few Halloweens,
right.
I will tell you that while I don't disagree with any of this, and certainly to each their own and everything. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this segment, you know, I kind of agree with that. I think that Halloween, being single on Halloween might be more lonely or tough than being even Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
All that said, there's a lot of positives that you can find to that, mm-hmm. being single around these days. In particular with Halloween, candy. You don't have to share your candy. It's all yours, baby.
That's
all
yours. There you go.
There is no, well, you get the big candy bar. No, you get the big candy bar.
So what
you get all the candy.
If you live in a neighborhood, not a lot of trick-or-treaters, you know, get a big bag of candy. And a couple kids come, of course, be generous, you know, mm-hmm. give out what you got. But then, hey, just have some, just enjoy.
It's all yours.
That one night, you know, have a little party of one, you know?
What do you
eat some candy.
What do you want to be for Halloween? You don't got to check with anybody. Be yourself. You be you. Right. You do what you want to do. You know, I there are positives.
And keeping in mind that that's the night where people can get away with stuff.
Yes.
More often than not. That's the whole costume thing, right? Being something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the deal, at least the modern deal with Halloween is, so.
Enjoy your Halloween, everybody, single or not.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, we're going to be doing, we have a Halloween episode coming up on next Friday.
Oh, we do. Wow.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Always.
We will take a quick time out. When we come back, we got 10 things that were normal 30 years ago, but now are a luxury.
Weird.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Coming up.
Beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch. Be careful of the blob.
had to get the pop in. I couldn't cut it off before the pop. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a great morning out there. Thanks for joining us. Seth and James hanging out with you right now. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got a whole 10 o'clock hour lined up for you with nothing but great stuff. Mm-hmm. People on the internet are talking about things that were normal 20 to 30 years ago, but are considered a bit of a luxury now. Mm. Here are the 10 highlights. This first one, maybe one of the bigger ones to me that I didn't think about right away, but I have from time to time. Owning the software you purchased.
Oh, yes.
You've touched on this too.
Uh-huh.
For better or worse, in theory, subscribing gives you access to updates and upgrades, but does not come with a cost. You don't get the hard copy, the MP3, if you buy music from Amazon or things like that.
That's right. And I think we're seeing now software is different and there's not a lot we can do about that, but we have seen in entertainment, at least there has been going back to physical media. I mean, I believe CDs now are starting to see a resurgence. Vinyl has been a thing now again for a while. It's become a whole other thing with artists. And we're seeing people looking, getting, you know, these really nice Blu-ray sets and these things, you know? So I see more move back after the streaming thing has had its day for a lot of this stuff, but I think people are getting irritated about losing things they can't watch anymore all of a sudden. It's like, what the heck? You know, even sometimes if you paid for it.
Yep. You're going to see a pushback.
Yep.
Concert tickets. Technology has made a lot of things better and more accessible, but the effect on concert tickets is definitely not one of them.
No. No, 100%. And monopolies. Monopoly go 101 is what Ticketmaster is.
Monopolies happen when there's only a certain percentage of people or businesses that have all the money.
That's right.
You know, so you're going to see that. Mm-hmm. There was a summer, I want to say it was 2021, something like that, where I went to like 6 different concerts one summer.
Wow.
Like, and I guarantee you, I didn't spend over $100.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
That's right.
And we're not talking like I went and saw, you know, Joey and the Schlecks or something like that. Like, I saw bands. I saw good name
like
bands.
Like, actual, like, decent bands, right? Yeah.
I did not mean to take a shot at Joey and the Schlecks. I'm sorry. They got a hit. They got one hit. I don't know who that is.
Joey and the Schlecks.
Good quality fabric and clothing. Household products that don't break within the first year that you have them.
Uh-huh.
That's a big
things
one.
Things that last.
Here's one that my father and I...
Planned obsolescence is what it is. The name of the game.
My father and I get really on this one. New furniture made out of real wood.
Oh,
like, you know, they used to be every once in a while you had those entertainment systems that were basically just a bunch of like sawdust crammed together and stuff.
That's all that now it feels like paperboard or whatever junk is.
Now
that
it
they
feels
use.
Like everything's that way.
It is.
Single income families buying a home.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it.
I don't even know if that was a thing 30 years ago.
No, like
We have romanticized for way too long.
My parents.
That doesn't happen anymore.
My parents built a house in 1980, and they were already a two income household in order to do that. Yeah, we're talking 50 years, maybe.
We're doing something wrong if that can't happen. If a single income family cannot buy a home, we have messed up as a society.
We have.
With that, we have messed this up. That ain't the way this America is supposed to work.
Right.
Leg room on an airplane. I haven't flown in a while. I guess I don't know how bad it might be now. But,
it's bad.
When you're tall on a plane, it's the worst. It's the worst. I've never had a really that comfortable. The seats that are more comfortable than others, but I've never really had a comfortable like seat on a plane.
The experience of flying used to be an experience.
Yeah,
it used to be a cool thing. Like, I mean, I know this is like way back when people used to get dressed up to fly.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was an experience kind of thing. And now it's just cattle, you know.
Yeah.
How many people can we shove into this tube?
Affordable health care. Yes.
Oh God.
That's one of those ones that we are not nearly we need to keep our hand on the button on this one when it comes to healthcare, and we have not done that. Mm-hmm. It's not it doesn't bring enough people to the table, enough eyeballs in, but we're seeing every day different things affecting our healthcare system.
Yes, every day.
And none of it positive. None of it helping anything but the higher ups.
Yeah, exactly.
And the doubling down that so many people seem to be doing about that, where, I mean... there's no one single person in your life or in life in general that should not be questionable. That should not be able to be like, hey, that, you know, what you're doing there doesn't work. Or, hey, I don't agree with what you're doing.
Right.
Like, there's nothing in life that
That's
should
right.
be that way.
Should be any sacred cows, right?
Except for our moms. Outside of moms. Outside of moms, nothing else.
He heard the rolling pin.
I did. I could hear it. I could hear it. I could hear my mother cracking her knuckles. Like, privacy. Another one of those things we did not know how
Thing
much
of the past.
We had.
Yeah. Again, this is something else we're seeing more of a pushback against too, which is a good thing, I think, is we need to start. We really need to work on this, people. I mean, there's a lot of work to do on this, and we need to pressure our lawmakers. We need a privacy law, and that's one. It's a priority. We need to work on that, like right now.
We need to pressure our lawmakers every day on all of these subjects way or another.
Yeah.
Our politicians are asked to do a difficult job. They are asked to do a lot. Mm-hmm. They are asked to represent a lot of people with a lot of different varying opinions, and they are not doing enough.
No.
They are not doing enough, period. And any politician that thinks they are needs to get out of the job. Go find something else.
Yep.
Go get paid by, you know, whoever's in your pocket.
Yeah, go be on their board or whatever. Yeah.
Do that and get out of the public eye.
Yep.
Or at least working with the public.
Exactly.
And calling a company and getting a person on the other end of the phone.
Getting anybody. How about that?
Yes.
It's even worse than that. Not just getting a person. It's about getting any kind of response at all.
Part of the reason it took me so long to get tires is trying to get somebody on the phone.
Oh, dear God.
I don't want to say the company, but it's a pretty darn big one that everybody's gone to at least once or twice in the last week or two even.
Yeah.
Trying to get somebody on the phone. So online, I could order my tires.
Yes.
And it tells me, hey, this is the right tire for my Jeep.
Right.
But then when I try to make the order, it would not click. It said it was the wrong tire. So I'm trying to get somebody on the phone to figure this out because there's only one set of tires to work. I could see them. They're on my vehicle right now. And all that. Couldn't get anybody on the phone.
Ugh.
Finally just went there.
Yeah.
Just went
so
there.
So frustrating.
And then I had to wait a good 10-20 minutes because, not to their fault, they don't hire enough people to work in these departments at these stores. Yeah. Like it is a difficult thing at the least to deal with right now.
We're seeing, and a lot of this is the same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about not enough people doing the jobs that we need them to do. Just simple things like that. I mean, just having enough people to help you with your tires kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's having enough people to, you know, any of the healthcare workers. Oh, my God. Having enough people to do all the things that they need to do.
And ads only on TV, in the newspaper, or on the radio. Now there are ads everywhere, literally ads everywhere. YouTube, streaming services, websites, social media, Amazon. You can't look at think of this. When was the last time you looked at any web page and there was not advertising all over it from anywhere?
Right.
Anywhere, including our own websites.
Yep.
You know, it is... I do not think that they have taught advertisers and marketing specialists enough about this. There is a point where it can be too much. Mm-hmm. There is a point where people get numb to your advertisements, mm-hmm. or they get so turned away that even if you're selling the cure to cancer, they ain't buying it.
Right.
Because you have bombarded them with too much. The movie industry gets this to a degree, certain companies more than others.
Sure.
Hey, we're going to advertise our movie a month early, but we're not going to bombard you at everything. Now, certain companies are certainly different than others, but they have a bit of an idea of a way to handle this. They, mm-hmm. There is a way to get yourself out there and to make yourself known without necessarily drowning people in your work.
Right.
It doesn't.
It's so irritating. It just makes people, it turns people off.
The the idea of constantly bombarding people with what your company is or sells or something like that. This isn't just an opinion of mine. I've done the homework on this. There are plenty of great articles on Forbes and plenty of other places you can go to see, hey, you're oversaturating yourself.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself out there too much. There are, for every actor that I talk about, in doing too many things, there's only one Samuel Jackson.
Right.
There's only one guy that can really get away with that.
Yeah, right.
It's one of the tougher things, and I'm not saying that it's easy to figure out and navigate, but it isn't. You can.
Yeah.
And they really need to.
The remarkable thing about this list is how these are not small things either.
Yeah.
Some of these are really big things we're talking about. Healthcare. We're talking about transportation. You know, customer service. These are all, you know, things that, for better or for worse, you know, we at least we were able, if there was a problem, we could, you know, get someone to solve it. Now that's less and less the case.
This has got to be before our time, because I believe that free driver's education classes, that wasn't a thing when we were in school.
I think my sister was the last in our high school that got it in school. And then when I was there, nope, got to pay for it.
Yeah, so that hasn't been a thing for quite a while.
Again, this is a very important thing, learning how to drive.
Yeah, it seems important. The next hour we're going to have for you is important. Stick around for it, everybody. Coming up right here.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.